Tane kyab su chi ta gi chen sa chi pe sa nam yi tro la pen chi san je tru pa shu san je che ta so gi cho nam la chan chu
nazam jeme jira parasi maje monga nonga oni sozora re jite wa to sonja re yom la so ga kangge ten jen de wan jo ga ba me ba je ni te ba me ba da me ba o me ba do me ba ta de de me de Dupa nyeshe shetenpa, dzopa sanje mananje, tamba de la sanza. Laya ke dan la dan na jenke, dhruvam da dan me ye ke nanda, dhruva kwenje dha ke che sanpa, tamje ke dha dha ke che tondo. So la so tan dhruva namgan thata nyampe sinche tamje che tondo, dzopa sanje che kompa rambo che dhruva sa, te yi che dha tamba che lo to sa ngon son che sunpa, jeva nyampe.
Before listening to the teachings, Rinpoche asks that we give rise to the precious attitude of bodhicitta, which means that for the benefit of all sentient beings who are limitless in number as the sky is vast in its extent, we aim to attain the state of complete and perfect enlightenment. In order to do that, we know that we must listen to, reflect upon, and meditate on the teachings of the genuine Dharma with all of the enthusiasm we can muster in our hearts. This is the precious attitude of bodhicitta. Please give rise.
Satyotan Parudhisimba Chodjati Kepale Tanda Tini Simchi Chopare Simchi Chopare Kepala Sati Kepareji Dinta Yihiji Parsinta Sor Singi Tigdun Tumbi Yinti Somre.
from the text by the glorious Chandrakirti called The Entrance to the Middle Way. In his explanation of the 10 stages of the generation of the mind of bodhicitta, which correspond to the 10 noble grounds of the bodhisattvas, as well as to the respective transcendent perfections or paramitas that they perfect on each of those grounds. Tonight we have reached the 10th, which is called, this ground is called the cloud of Dharma. And in the explanation of it, there are three parts. First is an explanation of this particular ground's qualities. Second is an explanation of the way that the transcendent perfection of primordial wisdom becomes pure. And third is an explanation of the qualities that are in accord with the particular name of this ground, which is cloud of Dharma.
Tele tangbo sati yin din ji te pa ne. Chupa sala teye goi ni sanje nam le wang korwa tamba top ten ki sawa song.
So in the first section about the qualities of this particular ground, the lines from the verse read, on the 10th ground, they receive empowerment from all the Buddhas. They become genuine. Maso?
Chupasala sa chupala ne pasam sim teye sanju sambati ni ki so cho kuni. Sanje namle, soju sanje namle, vajzir chenpe wang korwa, tamba top chen. Samsen di tingin zin, chanmin bumcha, jyotop tamala, tamjen chenpe yehi dang,
The commentary reads that the bodhisattva on this 10th ground, who abides on this 10th ground, receives from all of the Buddhas in all 10 directions the empowerment of great clear light or great rays of light. They therefore become genuine, or they attain the state of genuineness. And at the end of their remaining in the samadhi or the meditation, that is, at the end of the tens of hundreds of thousands of countless samadhis of meditative states, at the peak of that, then they manifest the meditation or the state of meditation or samadhi that is called the state that has been endowed with the inseparability from omniscient primordial wisdom. So they gain the samadhi that is inseparable from the very omniscience of the Buddhas, and therefore they are said to attain the Buddha's empowerment.
tema ta tun som tun som bom tra ju tu dang nyam ba chung dang nyam ba rinpoche pe ma rinpoche nam ba tham che jin cho dang den be te pa ki sa ba ne tun som bom tra chur chan ba chur chan ba do thara je Dhrni ji peyman kholo da dhenpa song te. Sansin te ti, sansin ti, lu te dan chambaran doko. Tingin zin te thoma tha, peyman te la namaran doko. Sanse te pema te lan dokpa tang. Sanje namji shen koi ni. Din zomba namje. Sanje ji shen koi ni. Din zomba te pepe. Sanje namji zoypa ni. Vajzer song ni tu ni. Sanju samba te la wang kol wang zhe do shi. Sa chupan do le song so.
Tisana Pema Rere La Jangju Sambhagi Trupa Thungi Duge.
Kare. Pema Rere La Yang Sa Sabju Sanju Sambhagi Duge.
Masa.
Tine Wang Kongi Sobju Sanje Namde Wang Kongi Duwa.
Masa. The commentary goes on to say that immediately after that, after gaining this samadhi, then there appear an immeasurable number of precious of lotus flowers that are studded with precious gems. Of the most supreme variety. And these lotuses are as equal in number to a million billion worlds, basically, is what it says literally. So there are lotuses equal to a million billion worlds filled with beautiful gems. And these lotuses are surrounded by even more lotuses that are equal in number to all of the atoms in all of those million billion worlds. And on each of these lotuses, the bodhisattva emanates one emanation of themselves, so they're seated on these lotuses after they emerge from this samadhi. And at that point, from all of the Buddha realms, the pure Buddha realms, the Buddhas emit rays of light from the hair in the middle of their forehead. And that enters the bodhisattva and bestows upon them the empowerment that they receive at this point, right before they become enlightened themselves. And this is how it's explained in the Sutra of the 10th Bhumi.
Sachyapa Sanju Sampa Nala Sachyu Jyunjan Thamar Sanje Namja Vajar Chimpu Wang Kota Tini Sanje Pandapara.
So in short, this is an explanation of how it is that this is the last step of the Bodhisattva before they become enlightened. They receive the empowerment from all of the Buddhas and then they progress to the Buddha ground itself. And then there is the explanation of how it is that on this ground primordial wisdom is what comes to the fore. And so this is in the second half of the second line, which says their primordial wisdom becomes supreme. Then the commentary reads that on this ground, the transcendent perfection of wisdom becomes supreme. And then it looks at, well, what is the difference between, the transcendent perfection of primordial wisdom? Because then it says, what is the difference between what in Tibetan are Sherab, which is what is perfected on the sixth ground, and then Yeshe, which is what is perfected on the tenth ground. They're both very similar in terms of the words. They both have this root word she, which means to know. And the first one, which is translated as wisdom, is, you could say literally, is the highest type of wisdom. And then you have primordial wisdom. So what's the difference between these words, which sound the same in terms of their definition? Well, one way of explaining it is that when you have wisdom, which is what is perfected on the sixth ground, as opposed to primordial wisdom, then you still have the dualistic appearances of an outer object and an inner perceiving subject, whereas with primordial wisdom, you don't have those appearances. So that's one way of looking at it. However, that's not the way that Mipham Rinpoche in his commentary chooses to explain it, because he says in the words of the Buddha himself, in the Bodhisattva, the Sutra of the Bodhisattva Grounds, the Buddha said that the transcendent perfection of primordial wisdom, which is what is perfected on this tenth ground, means that it encompasses knowledge of all phenomena. So it is truly omniscient. Whereas wisdom merely, which is what is perfected on the sixth ground, is a realization of the nature of ultimate truth. So you have these two truths, and what it's basically saying is that wisdom perfected on the sixth ground knows the ultimate truth, but primordial wisdom knows the union of the ultimate and the relative. It knows the union of both appearances and their nature. So it says that it is able to perceive in a non-dualistic way the nature of ultimate reality and the entire world of everything that could possibly appear in conventional reality in a way that these two are undifferentiable. That is the nature of the transcendent perfection of primordial wisdom. And it is also said, therefore, that this primordial wisdom is the result of the wisdom perfected on the sixth bodhisattva bhumi. The true nature of reality is appearance, emptiness, undifferentiable. So what this primordial wisdom probably experiences is appearance, emptiness, undifferentiable. So this wisdom connected with the sixth bhumi is more connected with one's discriminating intelligence. Because at this stage, you're analyzing and you say, well, okay, the nature of reality is appearance, emptiness, undifferentiable. Well, appearance and emptiness are two different words. Appearance comes at it from the perspective of the positive, what's there. And emptiness comes at it from the perspective of negation, what isn't there. So there's still this separation. Whereas in the fundamental nature of reality, whatever is appearance is also emptiness at the same time. Whatever is emptiness is also appearance at the same time. So there is no such differentiating these two out.
Malanji Zugda Terror is Tungba Yomare. Malanji Zugda Terror is Tungba Le Loso Zugda Terror Yomare. Year me bare.
Lassa.
That year me bate in Tomare.
Lassa.
Tina year me bate in Gunsum.
Lassa. If you think about the appearances in a dream, then to understand things from the perspective of negation is to understand that the forms and sounds, smells, tastes, and things you touch in a dream are not real, that they have no true existence. On the other hand, we still see that they appear, and our analytical mind proceeds one after the other. They appear, they have no true existence, but they appear, and so forth. It makes that type of distinction. However, if we look at it from the perspective of the appearances themselves, then the appearance and the emptiness are completely inseparable from each other, right, in the nature of the object. So there is no other emptiness besides in right what appears. And there is no other appearance besides in emptiness. And so this undifferentiability between appearance and emptiness is what this primordial wisdom experiences. In his song called The Eight Kinds of Mastery, the Lord of Yogis Milarepa sang, not separating appearance and emptiness, this is view as mastered as it can be. So this is, again, talking about the same point that Between appearance and emptiness, there is no distinction possible. Appearance is not something over here, and emptiness something over there. And emptiness does not exist apart from appearance, nor vice versa. And so the realization, or the, at least the certainty, that appearance and emptiness are inseparable from each other, is the mastery of the view. If we're still separating these two things out, taking appearances to be one thing and emptiness to be something else, we don't have mastery over view yet. And the same thing is taught by Milarepa in his song, The Authentic Portrait of the Middle Way, where first he teaches about how samsara and nirvana do not truly exist. Then he teaches about how there are mere conventional appearances of these things. And finally he teaches about how the appearance and the emptiness are undifferentiable from each other. So if we connect this with if we connect this with our own experience of suffering, then the teachings say that suffering itself, the very experience of it, does not really exist. However, to us, it appears like we have a real experience of suffering because we can feel it. And so we think, well, this is something real. And emptiness, that's just something that somebody else is talking about. It really doesn't apply here. Because my experience is real. I know it is. And emptiness doesn't fit with what I'm experiencing. But that's not the way that things are. Because emptiness and appearance are undifferentiable. So the very moment that something appears is the moment that it has no substantial existence. The next is the explanation of the qualities of this ground that give it the name cloud of Dharma. So this is the last two lines, which read, just as rain falls from clouds, from the bodhisattvas falls a spontaneous rain of Dharma, so that the harvest of being's virtue may flourish.
Chatei namle, charpatei namle, chui char sembaram baba, jume che sembaram baba, chetar. So taking the drova, same thing nam the juice, same thing the juice, same the gave a lot of zambo. Then he pain by the devon devoti, keepers have a cheto, jarvisable. Satyopala nepe Sancho Sambhata Sama Namja Sa Sa Chupava Dhani Dhani Chempo Tele Tele Chang Bepa Tan Sorva Bechor Mepa Lunchu Topar Lundropje Sordo Dhanbe Chuje Charmba Parachurpe Na Chuje Tengi Savo
Sasa The commentary reads, for example, just as it is that in the world a rain of water falls continuously from the clouds in the sky, so it is that in order to cause beings to be able to experience the wonderful and joyous results of planting a harvest of excellent virtue, then from the bodhisattvas who abide on the 10th ground falls a spontaneous rain of the genuine Dharma. And here spontaneous really has the notion of being natural, because the commentary says there's no effort. They don't put any effort into it. They just naturally teach the Dharma out of the enlightened qualities of their mind. This has been a brief explanation of the qualities of this particular ground and the way that the qualities are in harmony with the name Cloud of Dharma. This explanation of how it is that at each of the bodhisattva grounds a different transcendent perfection comes to the fore. For example, the first one is generosity, then each ground going up gives rise to a different transcendent perfection coming to the fore. This is an explanation not saying that at those particular points the transcendent perfection becomes perfect. It is saying that at those particular points the practice of those transcendent perfections becomes extraordinary, because the actual perfection of it does not come until the bodhisattva reaches the stage of Buddhahood itself. This explanation of the 10 different levels of the different stages of generating the mind of bodhicitta connected with the 10 grounds of the noble bodhisattvas and the 10 transcendent perfections, and then only at the end of that is enlightenment reached, is an explanation that's given to help us to understand that Buddhahood is not something we just gain overnight. That is something that on each of these grounds, the bodhisattvas can remain for many eons to practice and develop until they progress to the next one. And so something that's difficult to attain enlightenment takes quite a long time.
Tene tumungu ye de te sabjo pala sabjo re re la jaya te yin te de tsin chuni re. Yin te de tsin chuni te sa tangbu la jaro mba kapsa jatha chuni re. Nipa la jaro mba kapsa tongtha chuni. Sumba la thatha chuni sa tundu de tsin chuni chuni jana. Tene yin te manu manu roba sabjo junta la tene sa yi dor tabu.
And there are, in addition to these qualities that are described that are particular to each bodhisattva ground, there are 12 qualities which each ground shares in common. They all have them, but the difference is that on the first ground, you get these qualities in a hundredfold, then the second, you get them a thousandfold, and third, you get them 10,000-fold, and so on. And it progresses on up until it becomes a number that is equal to the number of atoms in all the planets.
Same trupa sebe jumsen je trupa jung su su. Jumsen je seba nyingi chenpe top je semjen je don de trupa na so jung mulam taba dele ten de trupa jung. Jumsen je de kap del tupe tene tepa dan dembe semjen dan dreva yu na tene ten dan trabe namke dava te sato la chunang na shava la choka se yu na dazo chengre.
And there are three different reasons we can discover for why it is that the bodhisattvas get these great powers in the first place. The first one is that they realize the nature of genuine reality. And since all of their confusion is pacified, then they are able to emanate many different kinds of magical abilities. The second reason is that they have developed great loving kindness and compassion for others. And so as a result of making so many aspiration prayers that they could develop extraordinary powers to be able to be of benefit to others in an incredibly wide variety of ways, they actually developed those abilities. And finally, whom do these abilities benefit? Well, primarily they benefit those sentient beings who have faith and who are open to these things, being of benefit to them. And so therefore, it is just like the causes and conditions that allow a reflection of the moon to appear on a pool of water. You need a cloud-free sky. You need a very still and clear lake. And then, if you have all the proper conditions, then the reflection of the moon will appear.
Then it turned out that Namkan Tempu Dab Zuni, the church of Jurina Yang, Sagon La Chumina, then is only Kavium. Sagon La Chuya, but the Choka, Seti, Una, T, Tangan Yamba Kavium. Young Chomang, but is a chick the domes on the chick the dead over. Java, the Dab Zuni, the name of Kerazo.
But even if you have a clear sky, and if you don't have any water on the ground, you're not going to get any water moon. On the other hand, if you have lots of pools of water, however many pools of water you have, you'll get that many water moons. And if you pour them all in the same lake, then you'll only get one water moon again. And so we all know how reflections work, and it's something that's worth our while to think about a lot.
Tendra ore tene
drupa sunyi jan char char data ginda ta so yang tini tini jin da du za la tu te tini yin de de sin chu ni so de.
And in this way that the reflections can appear, so it is that as a result of the bodhisattva's samadhi, their meditative states, and the aptitude of the disciples, that the different magical abilities of the bodhisattvas will shine.
Dele seje de nam shi man tong yi hin tong wa la so pen tong so song de dele ning ge chen bu khok da ne ba la tin de de ne dan da san ge ji de de no ba ri ji so de de wo re so ba
la so ning ge de
ning ge de khok le
la so
gang to za nam shi man tong yi hin tong de
la so
sem ji ji tong dro bu tu bu ji sen ka re ning ge khok so la so ning ge khok
la so And in Milarepa's song, the authentic portrait of the middle way, where it says that out of this compassion just emerges. Well, this is talking about also the great power of compassion. Because this is the power of compassion is what allows bodhisattva to be of benefit to others. Not only their realization of the nature of wisdom, not consciousness, and seeing Buddhas beings and so forth, but also their compassion. So these two go together, and through the power of that, they're able to be of benefit to others. So now we'll recite this verse together, and then we'll sing Milarepa's song. On the tenth ground they receive empowerment from all the Buddhas. They become genuine and their primordial wisdom becomes supreme. Just as rain falls from clouds from the bodhisattvas, falls a spontaneous rain of Dharma, so that the harvest of beings' virtue may flourish. From the standpoint of the truth that's ultimate, besides no blocks there are, not even Buddhas. No meditator and no meditated, no paths and levels traveled and no signs, and no fruition bodies and no wisdoms, and therefore there is no nirvana there. Just designations using names and statements, all animate, inanimate, the three realms, unborn and non-existent from the outset, no base to rest on, do not coexist. There is no karmic act, no maturation. So even the name samsara does not exist. That's the way these are in the final picture. But oh, if sentient beings did not exist,
What would the Buddhas of three times all come from? Since fruition with no cause impossible. So the standpoint of the truth that's relative is samsara's wheel, nirvana past all grief. It all exists, that is the sage's teaching. Then what exists appearing to be things? And then non-existence, pure being, emptiness, are essentially inseparable one taste. And therefore there is neither self-awareness nor awareness of what's other anywhere. All of this a union vast and spacious, and all those skilled in realizing this do not see consciousness, they see the wisdom. Do not see conscient beings, they see Buddhas. Don't see phenomena, they see pure being. And out of this compassion just emerges retention, powers, fearlessness, and all the qualities embodied by a Buddha. Just come as if you had a wishing jewel. This is what I, the yogi, have realized.
This simji chui nani, simji trupe tso utongpa nye te rekpa mambu tende te khebar hai.
Lasa.
Yin yang, simji yinda je kapsu yang, tongpa nye samu du te ten yang.
Lasa.
Kararasana paru de simba te su, suam de mekpa, kor suam de mekpa yu nan jikten pe parsen res. Suam de mekpa me na, Yikti lindai pa parsan yin ba tenpa sen no. Tini mikpa ma korsom parudu senpa nam korsom ma mikpa te tini tongpa nye sakyu re. Ganga tongpa nye tenpa.
It's the case that the sixth chapter in particular teaches about emptiness with a great number of logical reasonings. However, we should also know that each of the other nine mind generations or chapters also teach about emptiness in a profound yet short, condensed way, because they teach about the transcendent perfections. And in order for something, a practice, to be a transcendent perfection that truly transcends the world, then it can't have any focus on the three spheres, meaning there's no focus on the person doing the practice as being real, on the practice and the object of the practice as being real. And so therefore, each of the transcendent perfections includes within it a very profound practice of emptiness.
Then Tongba Ni Rona, Roma, Teba, Wina, then a Kayan Rongare. Tony Manteba Dendro, Yena, Kayan Manteba Dogger.
We might ask, how is it possible that there can really be nothing to focus on, and yet there is the appearance of something to focus on in terms of superficial relative reality? The answer to that question is provided by the protector Nagarjuna when he says, if emptiness is possible, then everything is possible. If emptiness is impossible, then nothing else would be possible either. If emptiness is possible, or if emptiness is in fact the way things are, then all of these different things can arise, and appear and cease. However, if things truly existed, if there were no emptiness, then nothing could happen because everything would be a static, permanent entity that would never change. And so this is why it can possibly be that there can be appearance and emptiness at the same time. Since the nature of reality is emptiness, then it is possible to attain enlightenment quickly. It's possible to attain enlightenment over a period of accumulating merit for 3 immeasurable eons, or 7, or 37. All of it is appropriate and can happen. When the Buddha was teaching that it was going to take some bodhisattvas 7 or 37 immeasurable eons to attain enlightenment, then some of them got a bit downcast about that it was going to take so long. And that's when the Buddha taught that the 3 times are also empty. That the 3 times are not something you can really focus on because they don't truly exist. Time is just a creation of a conceptual mind that just has no substantial existence in actual reality. So generally we think that at night time passes, and we would think that we would notice it pass except that we're asleep. And so time is there except for the one who's sleeping. For that person, there's no time at all. They just don't have any notion of it. So there's no feeling like, oh, I slept for a long time. You have no idea of how long it really was. And so that just shows that time is something invented by thought.
It's
the same thing with our experiences of suffering. We can see that these are just created by conceptual mind, because very often when you fall asleep or you faint or you just pass out, then the experience of suffering, which you may have had very acutely before that, just disappears. So that just shows that the suffering is only a thought. It's not real. So very often people, when they're suffering, all they really want to do is fall asleep. And the reason why that's the case is that when they sleep, they don't suffer. You know, they gain some freedom from their thoughts of suffering. And so this just shows that suffering is something that is conceptual, has no true reality. There are many other ways we can look at our own experience and realize that time is something which doesn't really exist.
Mm-hmm.
generally the times are divided into three, past, present, and future. The realization that these three are undifferentiable, that these divisions don't really exist, is a realization of the noble bodhisattvas. In the praises of the names of Manjushri, there is one name, epithet of Manjushri, epitaph of Manjushri, which is that he is called the one who realizes that in the three times there is no time. So what this is saying is that it is ordinary sentient beings who impute the existence, imagine the three times to exist, and Manjushri has transcended that type of confused mental activity. So we, at this time, at this time, we impute that the three times do exist, we believe in their reality, and as a result of that, we experience a lot of suffering. So Rinpoche makes the aspiration that in the future, all of us will transcend this imputing of the three times as being existent. So now let's recite all of the verses that we have from the first mind generation on down. If there are a few questions, then Rinpoche can answer.
Yeah.
Nisamso sumginang ne kare yakshires. Chik tuku tang longku chuku le jungere. Di chikre. Chik sumka taktu yare.
Kutum yen me.
Lare. Dene chik samso di nyi nyamdu samna yamdu. Understand it is that the Dharmakaya is the actual body of the Buddha's enlightenment, because it's what ultimately is the nature of genuine reality. And the two form kayas are just superficial appearances because they're involved with dualistic perception. That's the best way to think about it. The fact is that the Dharmakaya is not an object of the sense consciousnesses because it is the nature of genuine reality. And so that is said to be the actual genuine body of the Buddha's enlightenment, which cannot be perceived by the senses. It is in its nature the transcendence of all conceptual fabrication. On the other hand, the two form kayas can be perceived by the senses. They appear, they change, they disappear. And so they are not of the nature of genuine reality. So that's the way that the three kayas are explained in perspective, from the perspective of the explanation of the Buddha's three kayas. If you look at how the three kayas are present in the nature of mind, then it's said that the three kayas are said to be spontaneously present. So it's like that.
Yeah.
Tene neluk nang tong yerme yena tene chuku dendam la sha zuku ni kunsop la sha kandestu karasana nang tong yerme pares
ti ke chuk chitan ko sung ki che te nam do ton thim bi che zor nam do lan de bi che zor su ko ma re
This way of explaining the three kayas is a way of explaining that is in harmony with the way we think about things. In terms of the explanation of how they are non-conceptually, well, who could understand that?
Yeah, that would be.
Murangi kaji ni shugito. Tambo dakpe nangwa gi tsenyi sungro nang tang pechi sungro nang.
Dakpe nangwa
e. Lare.
Nangdong chama meba.
Laso.
Nangdong yinba chama meba.
Laso.
Dendrawo dakpe nangwa tsenyi.
Laso.
Dakpe nangwa koran dakpa yina yin. Namdok pe mada pe dota zogare.
Laso. Pure appearance is appearance emptiness without stain. So all appearances are appearance emptiness without stain. We just classify them as being impure. We superimpose that onto their true nature.
Pena kan karpo yin yang mekher marpo da serpo ngombo ke kharo jurgre tena gi na wa koran yeda yin yang nam do la tin de tene ma da pan da to ko
for example a white snow mountain is white but if you put on red glasses or yellow or some other shade then it's going to appear to be that color so in the same way all appearances are primordially pure, and yet our thoughts impute them to be otherwise.
Tene tikkara.
Tene nipa pakpe janju sempa tukna. Tene pakpe janju sempa gita karades. Ngatso tukna kandes hakoge.
Rangkya ten lakwe par seba ye nangdo marong po pujo yon jose. Tendra wo te tene sa tangbo wo yin pa jiba zo thore tsegre.
Well, it says in the text,
it's the
last two lines of the ninth verse. When one is enthusiastic even about giving away one's own flesh, that is a sign of something that normally cannot be seen. So if you see somebody who's giving away their flesh and is really happy about doing that, then that's a sign that of something of their realization which you can't we can't perceive. And further, if the person is cutting their flesh and is happy about giving it away, but they experience pain doing so, then they're doing it out of compassion. The bodhisattvas don't experience any pain. And if you see somebody who is having their flesh cut off ounce by ounce over a long period of time by somebody else, and they're just happily patient with them, enduring it, then that's a sign that that person has reached the third bodhisattva bhumi. There's one story about the Buddha when he was a bodhisattva called, whose name was
Zeparamava.
Proclaiming patience. And at that time, a Brahmin king came and said, well, your name is proclaiming patience, let's see. So he proceeded, in fact, to cut his body in different sections like this. And the Buddha endured it with patience. And so that's a story from the Buddha's life, many stories like that. That's something to think about, isn't it? If we see somebody like that. So it's like that. So if there are no further questions, we will meditate.